I'm Katie Kempner, and welcome to Perspectives, which is a series of inspiring conversations with remarkable working women. And I am really excited today to be talking with Allison Weisbrot, the Editor-in-Chief of Campaign US. Allison, welcome.
Hi, Katie. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time to talk with me, especially after just returning from the Possible Conference, which was a lot of stuff for you.
It was a busy couple of days, but you know what? It was fun. Miami is beautiful, as you know, because you live there. I'm very tired now, but I had a good time.
Well, that's the way people leave Miami often.
That's true.
But having had a good time. So let's jump right into it. Could we just start by you telling us a little bit about your career journey to your role now at Campaign?
Yeah, sure. So I always tell people I kind of fell into the advertising industry by accident. I didn't know much about it, but I wanted to be a journalist coming out of college and didn't really know what that meant and was willing to break in any way I could. So after a brief stint as a copywriter, actually, at a small startup, I heard about this growing industry trade publication called Ad Exchanger. Couldn't understand like one word of the articles on the website because it's very technical for those of you who have read it. It's all about ad tech and martech. But I was like, you know what? They wanted to hire me as a reporter. So I took the leap and it ended up being a really great almost 5 years education covering the media agencies and how they were adapting to programmatic technology. And then in 2020, during the pandemic, I got a call from Campaign. They were looking for a new editor-in-chief. And, you know, I'd always admired the Campaign brand and thought, you know, this was a great next step for me. And that's what it's been for the past 3.5 years and change.
And you've been doing a fantastic job. And I'm not just saying that, but really you've taken the coverage to really terrific level. And I guess that kind of leads me to my question of what are you focused on right now?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you. Second of all, I think right now most of my focus is really like building my team as reporters and sort of making sure that they are able to go out there and get the stories that are sniff out the stories that are important for us to tell. Editorially, we're really pushing on this convergence of creativity and technology because for me, that's a really nice alignment of Campaign's heritage. As most of you know, it's sort of the creative advertising publication of record in the UK and Asia and all around the world. So taking some of that and then marrying that with my background, technical expertise, and all of these massive, immense shifts that are going to impact every corner of the industry, creative, media, all of it. So we've been able to grow like really good credibility in those areas, I think, while also, you know, we always try to keep an eye on talent stories because talent is really the heart of this industry. So what's changed about the workforce since COVID? How are we approaching things like culture, DE&I? How is AI going to impact the workforce? So those are kind of like the three buckets that I look at.
How do you think that people in advertising or, you know, personnel has changed since COVID? Because it does seem like there's a lot of shifting going around one way and then another.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of turnover. I mean, we noticed last year there was a huge amount of turnover. This year, or in 2022, there was. In 2023, it got a little bit better. But I think that a lot of people left the industry during COVID, started their own things. A lot of women left the workforce in general. So you see a lot of women who kind of left top posts at agencies and are doing their own thing now. And then you have a new cohort of entry-level talent that isn't really like being trained the same way, right? Because they started their careers at home and getting them to sort of understand the importance of in-person connection and training is a challenge, I think, at a lot of agencies. So we're definitely still sort of settling from that. I don't think anyone's fully figured that out yet.
Well, you make a really good point about in person, because I mentioned, you know, you were just at Possible. We got to spend some time together there. it's a new huge industry event, and it can be very overwhelming going to a conference like that because you know you're supposed to be networking and you're supposed to be making contacts, or you know, and sometimes somebody walks in there and they don't see anyone they know, or they're not sure what to do. And how do you, and it's, I'm sure at this point, it's the opposite for you because everybody wants to talk to you.
But, not always. You
know, do you have any suggestions for people who aren't sure exactly how to navigate something like that?
Yeah, I think you're right. It is totally overwhelming. I'm kind of like a conference veteran at this point, I'm about to go to Cannes for I think the sixth time, which is probably the most overwhelming conference you could ever go to. So it's sort of just about like putting yourself out there in ways that like just walk up to someone, introduce yourself, start talking about what you do. Sometimes it'll be a dud. Sometimes you'll meet someone really important. Or sometimes it'll just be like a new friend that you make that you keep in touch with, or a new LinkedIn connection. So yeah, just sort of put yourself out there and then immerse yourself, like sit in the sessions, take notes, see if you can come up with some takeaways that you can bring back to your job on the way home. And I think another thing is like, I think it's tempting to overprogram yourself. Like I used to do that a lot. Like every half hour slot was another meeting, and sometimes it's more valuable if you just sort of like space things out, let them soak in and have those chance run-ins where you can like spend 10, 15 minutes talking to someone you weren't expecting in the hallway.
Yeah, that's definitely true. Well, before we move on from Pascal, were there any takeaways there of interest?
Yeah, so my takeaways were sort of more about like the conference itself than what I learned there. I think the industry is looking for like a more efficient maybe way to do something like a can where instead of, I mean, we're all going to fly out to the south of France anyway, but maybe one day we'll say we don't have to spend that money to go to the south of France because we can go to meet all of our US friends at Possible in Miami. And, you know, if you're looking over the balcony of the Soho beach house, it kind of looks the same anyway, right? So I think that it's a more efficient meeting space for people. I think it is very sales focused. Like you said, there's, I think the point is to be bumping into people, going to the cabanas, meeting with clients and partners, and the content is a little bit secondary to that, but yeah, there's other places where you can get really good content, like our campaign event. So that's fine.
Like your campaign event. You mentioned, you know, not being programmed every half an hour. And I think that's really great advice. And sort of to build on that, you know, you must get, I can only imagine what your email inbox looks like. And it's very easy, whether you're getting pitch stories in your case or other types of work emails, just as a person to feel extremely overwhelmed as your inbox never stops piling up. And even let's say, you know, you're at a conference like Possible and, you know, you're trying to network and listen to events. And at the same time, your work is going on anyway. And you, as in everybody, I'm wondering, how do you deal with that feeling from a feeling point of view? How do you try to manage it from just getting everything done? And are there any tips that would be useful to other people that are listening as well?
Yeah, I think every journalist has their own technique here. A lot of people I see people with like 2,000 unread emails and I start to like panic, right? Because I'm like, what if I miss something? So for me, I like to, I'm pretty good at keeping the number of emails that are unopened in my inbox to a minimum, but I by no means like read everything or get back to everyone. So, you know, I think at a certain point, it's like being okay, like not getting back to every single person because I just wouldn't have the time to do that. And sort of just knowing how to prioritize, like sort of, I like to sort of go through, clean up the things that are like cluttering my vision, right? And then go back and see like the important ones that I know I need to answer. So I don't know if that's great advice, but I think just knowing, I think also just like turning it off for a while. So like, for instance, when I was at Possible, I wasn't really checking email. I sort of let it pile up and I said, that's what Thursday is for when I get home, right? And I'm working from home. So if I'm on deadline or if I'm editing something, I have to sometimes, you know, close it out and just focus. So it's knowing when to sort of almost like put it out of sight, out of mind, while also making sure you're staying on top of things. It's a balance.
It's a balance. Well, I used to talk about this show. I wanted it to be called The Balancing Act, which turned out it was already taken. But anyway, it's interesting to me how many women don't like the word balance, because I love it. How do you feel about that word?
I think it's okay. I think women probably don't like it because it makes them feel like, oh, I have to be responsible for like keeping everything perfect, maybe. But yeah. I don't know. I do yoga. I think balance is really important. You know, I think it's, I'm not offended by it.
But. Is that one of the ways that you try to just stay centered yoga? I mean, people need to have something or other, right?
Definitely exercise. I try to do that, whether that's like cardio, weights, or yoga. I think, you know, I try to really set boundaries like on the weekends. You know, sometimes you have to do some, finish up some things over the weekends, but I try to turn off in the evenings. I do like when I'm on vacation, I'm on vacation. I don't really check emails, which I know is hard for some people. But I try to like put those boundaries up. And then, on a daily basis, exercise. I love to cook. So that always helps me kind of unwind after a long day of work. I just like pick out a new New York Times recipe and crack at it. and seeing friends and just, you know, normal stuff that you just put your mind off work and get out of the grind.
You know, I love that you said that about New York Times recipes. I do not love to cook. I really want to love to cook. I'm a very inconsistent cook. There's really no middle ground with me. Either I make something and it is incredible, or I make something like the other night, my husband was like, no offense, but which obviously, you know, the next thing is totally offensive. No offense, but this is sort of inedible. You know, like a huge stack of New York, but he was not wrong. I have a huge stack of New York Times recipes that the less difficult ones I want to give a shot. You know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, because I think this is so true for people, especially talking about emails and going to conferences, and you always have to be on the go. But at the same time, it's really important to be proactive and constantly learning and not just have a day where you haven't done anything to sort of look ahead. And you've just, you know, there are days you just have to get through your to-do list. But how do you stay proactive and interested in the things around you?
Yeah, well, luckily, part of my job is talking to really smart, interesting, inspiring people all day. So that keeps me interested, just interviewing people and learning like sort of what's coming next. I read a lot. So my morning is like catching up on all the industry news and even the broader news in the world. And, you know, I'm always reading a book, whether it's like a novel or a nonfiction book. So yeah. So just like making sure I'm consuming a lot of different information and, you know, have my pulse on what everyone's talking about out there.
So I want to go back just a little bit to the role of an industry trade publication, because as a PR person, if I didn't ask you a few questions, I would be quite remiss. So, you know, having been it, you know, starting at Ad Exchanger and now a campaign, what do you see today as the role of an industry trade pub?
Yeah, it's really interesting that you asked that. I think about this a lot, and this came up during advertising week for me, because I feel like a lot of the time the trade publications can kind of be perceived as like industry cheerleaders or like places to like repost press releases and things like that. And, you know, we do love to like celebrate the industry and sort of marvel at its most interesting work and all of that kind of stuff. But at the same time, we also want to like be observers and kind of hold power and bad behavior to account, because we are journalists and editors at the end of the day. So being able to strike that balance between, you know, recognizing and honoring and celebrating, and then also like just making sure that important issues are being explored and talked about, and shedding light on them. So I think it can be difficult, right? Because like our business models muddy the water a little bit, right? Like we're covering the people who are our advertisers, and that can be, that can create sometimes awkward situations. So I think, you know, I try to keep a good relationship with everyone, but all, while also sort of being clear, like, this is the role we play and why we're here. And this is why it sort of benefits the industry as a whole to play that role. So
And it's hard sometimes for people to understand that, but the whole value is that you're a news organization, right?
Yeah. And, you know, there are some, I think there are some trade publications that are a little more events focused. There are others that are more news focused. I got into this industry for the news focus, and that's what kind of keeps me going and what I'm passionate about. So that's what, and I think that's what Campaign is known for. Like it has a lot of integrity in that space. So
absolutely. Okay. So have to ask you this question. What is the best way, now knowing you don't read all your emails, what is the best way to pitch you and your team?
I do skim them all. I just don't answer them
all. Noted.
I do think email is probably the best, like first way to go. If it's something that's like urgent or breaking, a text is fine. If it's not, email's probably better. I know we were talking about this in Miami, but usually like one follow-up is good. By the fourth time, it's kind of like the silence speaks for itself. But I do try to be responsive as much as I can. The one thing I don't like is when I get the text or the voicemail that's like, did you get my email? I mean, it hasn't been long enough for me to check my inbox yet, but...
That's what I think, Thursday is for. No.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's less about the like the mode of communication and more about like respecting the, like you said, the state of our inboxes and how many things we're juggling every day. Like, you know, my team is pretty small. We're small but mighty. We get a lot done, but there's a lot that we would like to do that doesn't mean it's not great, but we gotta pick our battle.
You mentioned this a little bit before earlier, but if people are looking to pitch you and the topics that are most interesting to you, what is it you want to know more about? And you definitely want to make sure people are thinking of Campaign First for.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this creativity and technology intersection, like any agencies that are, or brands or companies that are able to really show concrete examples of like how they're applying AI and other emerging tech to transform their business models, really, because obviously the industry is under pressure right now. Some are doing better than others, but I think we're about to enter a really big period of innovation, and being able to sort of keep marketers and creatives and media people up to date on that and ahead of that is something that we want to really be able to do. And then on the flip side of that, continue to champion the talent side of that and make sure that like people don't get left, the people of this industry don't get left behind in that. So
very important, very important. So just to end, Allison, is there one piece of advice that has really helped you in your life and your career that you could share with us?
Oh, that's a good one. I think, I don't know if it's like a piece of advice, but I think just like kind of be open to where things can take you. I used to be really concerned, right, about like what is my job going to say about me? Like, what does it mean? And I wasn't sure if going into this industry was for me or like what, I don't know. And I think just sort of not knowing, taking chances and not like criticizing opportunities before you know where they can take you and being open to what things can look like. You really never know where you'll end up. So I would say like, just embrace opportunities and don't stick your nose up at anything because you never know where it'll take you.
I love that. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks so much for having me.